Good morning. It's a privilege to be up here this morning and bring God's word. Remember, it's never my word, it's always God's word. About, I don't know, around September last year, I spoke about how to live with joy. I don't know if anyone remembers. And the title of that sermon was How to Live with Joy in a stressed out world. And can you live happy and joyful in this life or in this world? Is it possible? Now that was, as I said, 7-8 months ago, but this is a continuation of it. This is more or less what I'm going to speak about today, is the second part of that sermon. And the title of this sermon is, Where is the Peace That Jesus Promised? Remember, Jesus promised that we will have peace. And people are asking today, and it seems like many people are asking today, where is the peace that Jesus promised? Because after all, it was foretold that Christ would bring peace. And there's one such passage in Isaiah. So if we look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, if you'd like to open to that. That's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So just we need to keep in mind here that the book of Isaiah was written something like 700 years before Christ. In fact, Isaiah was martyred in 680 BC. And here Isaiah tells us that for us, a child is born, Prince of Peace. And when the child was born in Bethlehem, as you all know, the angels announced the event with these words in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Let's have a look at that. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Glory here refers, of course, to praise given to God. So when we're saying glory to God, that's what it refers to. Praise given to God. So if you want to receive what God wants to give you, then the message this morning of peace is for you and for me. And it is available for all. And when and if we receive what God wants to give us, then we have peace. Because that's God's heart for us. He wants to give us peace. The angel here told the shepherds, this peace was to come by a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord. And also the angel here predicted, his peace will come when we give glory to God. And that has nothing to do with whether or not we win the arms race. You know, people are waiting for the arms race to stop. People are waiting for all these wars to stop, for these terrorists to stop, because they think once that stops, we will have peace. But today, we are not talking about that at all. We're not talking about the arms race or how many wars there are all around us today. It has nothing to do with countries around the world to stop fighting. Peace is a gift that only God can give us, and it is the one thing that every person desires. I'm sure if we went anywhere around the streets here, around the world, and ask people if they want peace, I'm sure they'll all say yes. I don't think we'll encounter one person who would say, no, I don't want peace, I love trouble. We wouldn't get many to say that. And I'm sure every one of you here wants that peace. Everyone wants peace. World leaders, they desire peace. World leaders are in desperate situation where they want world peace. Church leaders want peace. Parents and their children want peace. husbands and wives want peace. We see what's happening with the divorce rate. Husbands and wives want peace. But if only we can understand about where this peace comes from. Because people strive for peace through every conceivable means, don't they? But everywhere you look, every newspaper you read, every news bulletin on TV and radio, you hear of people who are desperate, desperate to find that peace. You know, a little child will tell you that the world is full of trouble. You don't have to go very far. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting down with Mariah, 10 years old. We were watching the news. We watched for about 10 or 15 minutes. Then Mariah said, "The news is all trouble. It's just trouble everywhere." I don't know if she remembers. It's only a couple of weeks ago. A little child will tell you that there is trouble in the world. You don't have to go very far. I had a friend, I don't see anymore, who had everything. He had a beautiful wife and beautiful children. He had a beautiful house on a big farm. I think it was 50-acre farm. He had cars. He loved cars. He had a huge superannuation at work. He always invested for when he retired. He always said, "I want to retire at 55. So he invested as much as he could. So he kept on investing and investing. And people would look at this person, and I looked at that person one day, and I said, "This person has got everything. He must be so blessed. There's nothing. He lacks nothing. He needs nothing. He's got everything." It's one of those people, if he's got a birthday and you're invited, you wouldn't know what to give him because he's got everything. Have you ever looked at someone like that who you thought he's got everything? This person or this family, they got everything. But one day all that happiness and all that peace that he had fallen apart. One day he had all this and all of a sudden he had nothing because of some circumstances that happened in his life. Why? How could this happen to someone? How could this happen to someone who is so happy, who's got so much peace because he's got everything around him? Everything he needs he's got. Well, I tell you why. Because this person's happiness and peace came from his possessions. This person had worldly peace. That's what he had, worldly peace. And many people today are relying on their wealth and possessions for peace. You know, how much can I possess? If I can accumulate more, if I can have more possessions, more cars, more houses, more money, then I'll be happy. You know, many people are relying on those things to be happy. But you know, the peace the world gives isn't real or lasting. Some people may think that, but it's not. Because it fails to satisfy the longing of the soul. Now, I'm not saying that there is something wrong if you've been blessed with wealth and possessions. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Because the more we're blessed, the more we bless others. That's a good thing. When God blesses us so much, we can bless others. For as long as we don't rely on our peace with our possessions or on our wealth. There are many people today around the world who have much more possessions than this person that I mentioned, but they still haven't got peace. You may know some people like that. You know, may know some people who's got everything in this world, everything they need. There's nothing, they lack nothing, and yet there's no peace. So what is this peace Jesus spoke about? How do we receive it? Let's have a look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Christ made peace by his death on the cross, didn't he? He made peace by his blood. And God has done this to reconcile us to reconcile all things on earth and in heaven to himself through Christ. I wonder if we have even begun to grasp sometimes the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's really done for us, for each one of us. And he done this so all who accept him by repentance and faith may receive his peace. This is the peace we are talking about. How many know that you can have nothing but still have peace? I know my mother with 12 children. She had nothing, absolutely nothing. She couldn't, my dad would work, but with 12 children, mom and dad, 14 of us, his money didn't go very far. But you know, I've always found my mom to be a very peaceful woman. Very peaceful woman. She had nothing, absolutely nothing. There used to be a van with clothes that used to come in our street. And he would knock on my mom's door because he knew she'll buy stuff from him. But she'll buy things that we needed. But she wouldn't pay him. She'll give him maybe £1 a month in those days. She'll buy £10 worth of stuff, but she couldn't give him the money. And he knew eventually mom would pay him. And she'll get what she needed. She'll go to the store if she didn't have money, and she'll buy what she needed. And he'll write it on a book. She owes him £2, whatever it might be. But you know, there was peace. There was peace. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You will find rest. Christ gives peace and rest to all, to everyone who come to him in faith. And he says, come to me. He didn't say, come to me, all you who are rich. He didn't say, come to me, all you have a lot of possessions. He said, come to me. Come to me as you are, whether you're poor, whether you're rich. Didn't matter to Jesus. Come to me. And this invitation is not a restricted one. It's to all. I will give you rest. What a promise. I will give you rest. Have you received this promise? If you haven't received this promise from Christ, you need to receive this promise. If you want that peace, you need to receive this promise. You know, it saddens me to see people going to tarot reading for happiness. You know, every market you go to now, there's tarot reading there, thinking that will make them happy and bring peace to them. But doesn't bring peace. They'll tell them what they want to hear, pay them money, whatever they charge, and go away. Many, many people need to respond to this invitation. Come to me. A survey 3 days ago, I watched on TV, I think it was Thursday or Friday, says that this was survey just for men. And it said 1 in 5 men suffer anxiety. 1 in 5 men. That's almost a scary thought. That if you count it in general, if we count it here, 1 in every 5 men going through anxiety. 1 in 8 is suffering with depression. 1 in 8 men out there is suffering with depression. I don't know about you, but that's a scary thought. And these are not all poor men. Not all poor people. Some of them, they're movie stars. Some of them, they're singers. Some of them, they're footballers, entertainers. Some of them, they're very, very rich men. Very rich men. And of course, I'm not sure the statistics with women, but I don't think it would be much different. Jesus was punished for our sins that we, us, may have peace. God's peace is not given to men because they deserve it, but to the undeserving whom he has freely and graciously chosen to favor. Now, during his lifetime, Jesus gave his peace to those who believed in him. Let's look at John chapter 14, verse 27. It's John chapter 14, verse 27. Okay. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give peace. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Let me read that again. This is a very important verse in the Bible. Peace I leave with you. He left us peace when we left our Lord Jesus Christ. My peace. Whose peace is it? His peace. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. What does the world give? The world can give riches. They can give possessions. The world can give lots of things. But he doesn't give it to us as the world gives it. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus distinguishes here his peace from peace as the world understands it, doesn't he? People see absence of war, as I said before, absence of war on earth as peace. And again, if you ask people, what is peace? You go in the street, say, what is peace to you? Say, well, when these terrorists stop bombing everywhere, when these countries stop fighting, when there's no more wars, then we will have peace. But what Jesus brought was reconciliation between God and man. My peace I give to you. The peace that is mine, Jesus says. It is a peace which has been put to the test, don't you think? That peace has been put to the test. And Christ's peace lasts forever. Yet the world's peace has a short, very short life. God's peace doesn't depend on our feelings. You know, the world's peace, as I said before, could be here today, gone tomorrow. And we've seen it over and over again with many, many people, many, many rich people. Another promise is in Psalms chapter 85, verse 8. Let's look at that verse. Psalms 85, verse 8. Okay, the Psalms chapter 85, verse 8. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace. What he promised us? Peace. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. And that's important there. Let them not return to folly. He promises peace to his people. That's what he promised us. Have you taken hold of that promise? He promises peace to his people, but there is also a warning in there. So we need to be careful that we don't turn away from our Lord. Also in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Let's have a look at that verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. To set our mind on the flesh, the Bible tells us, is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And we don't need to talk much about the Spirit. Pastor Chris has been speaking wonderfully every Sunday about the Spirit. We had some beautiful sermons by Pastor Chris if you've been coming every week. So on the one hand here, we see death is the result of the flesh life. On the other, life flows from the Spirit life. Peace is the fruit of the Spirit also. So let's have a look at that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It's Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The wrong verse there. Talks about husbands and wives. Okay, so Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. There you go. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and so on. So peace is the fruit of the Spirit. You know what peace in the New Testament means? Peace in the New Testament is primarily tranquility of the mind. Isn't that beautiful? Tranquility of the mind. Also, peace with God affects our relationships with others. Did you know that? If we don't have the peace of God, we can't have good relationships with others. Our relationships with others could be in turmoil. Because if we can't have that peace with God, how can we have peace with one another? Also in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Let's have a look at that one. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace comes through justification by faith in Jesus. The benefit which justification brings is that we have peace with God. And those justified by faith, the Bible says, secures peace with God. Now the meaning of the word justification here means to acquit, which is the opposite to condemn. The justification of sinners that Paul talks about here is the passing of a favorable verdict. At the Alpha course, Nicky Gamble explains it this way. He said there's two friends. There was two good friends. They went to school together. But as they grew up, they got separated. One became a criminal and one became a judge. And one day, this criminal had to face the judge for things he's done wrong. And the judge, when he looked at his friend, he felt pity for him. He said, oh, this is my friend. What am I going to do? He's a just judge. He can't just say, okay, go, forget it. He's got to give him the penalty he deserves. So the judge fined him whatever it was, let's say $1,000, fined him the $1,000. As he was supposed to do. And then after that, he went off his bench, took the robe off, and he went and made a check for $1,000. And he went and paid it for him. You know, that's what Christ done for us. He paid our penalty. He could have let us pay that penalty. After all, we're the one that done wrong. Same with the thief that He could have said, well, the judge could have said, well, you've done the wrong thing. Why should I help you out now? But the judge now, he wrote a check and he paid it for him because he loved him. He loved his friend. And that's how Jesus loves us. He paid the penalty for us, for each one of us. But it's up to us now. Do we want him in our lives? Do we want Christ? Do we accept that Christ is our Savior, that Christ has paid the penalty for us? Paul believes that God shows favor to those whom he has acquitted. And that's us. He acquitted us. But he uses other terms, of course, to describe this. He described this sometimes as adoption, because God adopted us as his children. The peace that Christ gives is what the world needs today. You believe that? The peace that Christ gives is what the world needs today. Can you imagine if the world accepted that peace? It can solve world problems. It can solve church problems, family problems, home problems. It is a real and it is a lasting peace. Nothing comes near it. This peace is given as a gift to those who love God. And it's not earned. We cannot earn it. Doesn't matter how much we work. We cannot earn it. It cannot be purchased. We could be rich, but we still cannot purchase it. This peace is given to those who love God. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Christ preached peace. The peace of God is available to all men, women, young and old, rich and poor. No one needs to be left out. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter who we are. Whether we're a man, a woman, as I said, a child, that is available to all of us. And I would like to read one last verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace. He who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He himself is our peace. Christ is our peace. To have peace, we must have Christ. If we don't have Christ, we can't have peace. He is our peace. Christ is our peace. If we are to have peace, then he must have us. We must give all to him, our hopes, our plans, our will, our future. We must surrender completely to him. So if you are relying, if there's anyone here relying on your next car or your next house or your next boat or maybe even your next pay to make you happy, then I'm sorry, but you're on the wrong track. If that's what we're relying on, to have happiness, to have joy, to have peace, then we are on the wrong track. We can have no wars and no fighting in the world, but still have no peace. Doesn't mean if there's no wars at all in the world, no ISIS, no... Doesn't mean we're going to have peace in our hearts. That means nothing. It means there's no wars, yes. But that doesn't bring peace to our hearts. Only Christ can bring that peace to our hearts. So if you want that peace, you need to ask Christ to give you that peace, to give you his peace. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. So if you want to ask Christ for that peace, you ask him and he will give you that peace. Let's pray. Father, we too thank you, Lord God, that you bring peace into our lives, Father. Lord, we know the world can give peace for a short time, Lord, but very, very short time. And that peace can be taken away from us at any time. But Lord, your peace lasts forever. Father, in fact, it will last for eternity when we spend eternity with you one day. Lord, we just want to thank you this morning, Father. I just pray, Lord, that your word, Lord, will touch our hearts, Father, and that we will understand your word, Lord. And Father, not only understand it, but we will receive it, Father, and we will live it. That's the only way, Lord God, we're going to have your peace, Father, to live your word, Lord. So we thank you, Father, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.